Last week, we talked. It was an intense message. I sent out a thing on the RC text list. If you're not on the RC info text list, I encourage you to get on it. I can give you the number later. Also, there's the Live Close devotional text that we send out three times a week. If you're not on that, it might be something you're interested in. It's usually about 150 words or less, just Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon. But last Sunday night, I talked on an intense lesson of the pruning that's been going on for 16 months in this place. And it's not just us. It's body-wide for those that are listening and paying attention to the Holy Spirit. And it has been an intense 16 months. And it's not just here, like I said. Last night after the round table with the pastors that are in this region, Susan and I went to McDonald's with one of the pastors, stayed there till 10 o'clock at night. And basically they're going, if my pruning has been like a match to my body, theirs is like a bonfire. Okay, and I'm just acknowledging that. Whatever we went through is, they've really been set on fire. And so, you know, so we were there about 10 o'clock, and basically the question was being asked by them, should we quit? Should we drop out? Should we give up the church? Should we do something else? In the end, we were able to walk through it and talk through it, and the answer was no. But that's how intense this is going in different places. And so, how many of you have been through the pruning or the sifting or the shaking the last, well, it might have been longer, but the last 16 months when I talked about it, that the Lord in January 2023 said, fire is here. And that's not like glory, that's the baptism of fire to burn out of us the things that we thought were Him, but they were not Him. Burn out of us the things we knew was us and not Him. And He's like, okay, you're on your own, you hold on to it. And to reveal those things that are gold, precious stones, jewels. These are the things that rightly align with Him. Now, the good thing about pruning is this. What happens after you prune a bush in the natural? It starts growing back. And I'm starting to see, I think, at least with this group of body of believers, our family here at Relationship Church, I think most of the pruning is probably done. And the cutting's probably done, although it sort of goes in seasons for the rest of your life. You know, there's seasons of spring, seasons of fall where things are dropped off that are killed, seasons of winter where things are dead. But I really think we're moving into a season where there's some growth starting to happen. We're starting to see some positive things where He's starting to use us more. We're starting to get more revelation, starting to see some wisdom, some movement in relationships. And so I just want to throw that out to encourage you. And so I want to give some pointers, probably won't get through it all tonight, some pointers on what do you do now after the pruning. How do you move forward? How do you walk with the Holy Spirit to maximize these movements, this movement, so we don't have as much to burn up in the next season? We tend to accumulate stuff. I was talking to David yesterday. Now, they moved out, what did you say, a 1,200-square-foot house? A family of six in a 1,200-square-foot house. I said, so had you accumulated a lot of things in the last 7 or 8 years that he was there? And he goes, some, but it was sort of hard in a small house. It's, you know, you tended to clear it out. So us spiritually, soulishly, we're going to accumulate habits, patterns, routines that are probably not the best. But if we stay close to the Lord, try to keep our house, quote, small, the next burning won't be as it won't be as intense, and we would have been through it. This I know, I love this verse in Matthew 16:18. This is Jesus talking to Peter. He said, you are Peter, and I can guarantee that on this rock, I will build my church. So what was he talking about? The Catholic Church thinks this is the beginning of the apostolic bishop dynasty that goes to this day. That's not true. If you back up to verse 15, he said, he asked them, but who do you say I am? Jesus speaking to Jesus. This is one of the biggest questions that has been going on the last year and a half. It was evidenced by Max's song. He said different words. But who do you say I am? And I think a lot of us have realized the last year and a half, he's different than I thought he was in some areas. He's shown a side to me that I thought that is different than I thought he was. Not necessarily bad, it's just a different side. Who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I know myself, I've come to a revelation many times at the end. I go, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't quite hear the Lord on this. But you are God, and I'm going to stay close to you. As it says in the lobby, I am going to live close to you. And in many ways, he's withheld maybe some leading sometimes. He's withheld guidance sometimes. He's withheld understanding sometimes to see if we will say, you are God, even though I don't understand. He wants to see if we're going to follow him, even if we don't have the quote, the blessings. Rick Joyner has this phrase that he said, I heard it probably 15 years ago. He has this phrase, God will bless what he does not inhabit. That's a scary thought. He will bless what he will not inhabit. What does that mean? The children of the Israelites wanted to go into the... He wanted them to go into the promised land. They wouldn't stay close to him. They wouldn't go to the Mount Horeb like we talked about last week. They wanted to stay some distance from him. Moses, you go, you glow, you do everything. We'll hear it from you. So they weren't close to him, but he did bless them because they didn't starve. They had water coming out of a rock. They had manna coming out of heaven. They had a pillar of cloud by day that gave them shadows. They had a pillar of fire by night because it gets cold in the desert that gave them heat. He blessed them, but he did not inhabit with him because the inhabitation was on the mountain. And many Christians are that way. All they pray for is blessings, and all they look for his sign is blessings, and he will give you blessings, but there's something better. It's to go deeper, as one of the songs said. I can't remember. We want to go deeper into you, even if it's scary, even if there's thunderbolts, even if lightning. There's not going to be real lightning, thunderbolts, but even if something causes us to be afraid. How many of you can say the last 16 months, I've gotten a different understanding of the Lord and gone closer than I ever have before? That's where he starts inhabiting you. And this is when Jesus said, Simon of Jonah, you are blessed. No human revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven revealed it to you. You are Peter, and I can guarantee on this rock, I will build my church. The church is us. So after this last 16 months, he is building a oneness with him and a oneness this way. I've sensed greater unity in this group than we have in a long time, greater maturity. So he's after oneness, oneness with him and oneness with each other. He will build our church. Part of what he's been burning up in churches, which is just people, part of what he's been building up was started with COVID, three or four years ago. COVID was not God, but my goodness, did it reveal fear. Did it reveal lots of things in the church. When the attendance dropped by half, people were panicking, churches were panicking. People were going crazy. It revealed your rock is not that Jesus is the Messiah. Your rock and your security is something else. It's your job. It's your finances. It's some relationship that went berserk. And he revealed that not to punish us, but to show us you're building on the wrong thing. And I'm going to help you build on the right thing. And this is cool. At the end of verse 18, Matthew 16, it says this. After he says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. The American church has been asleep, which is people in it. We've been asleep. The American church has been powerless. We don't even want to talk about the power of God. How dare you speak in tongues? How dare you believe that God can heal you for today? How dare you believe in deliverance over Christians? It's been powerless, and the devil has overpowered us. But through this last 16 months, even through the beginning of COVID, things have started changing and going, we have got to do stuff different in our own life and as a group in a church. And he is setting us up so that all this darkness that's on this earth, all the shadows that's on this earth, he is raising up a group of people that's going to start bringing light and supernatural into it. and the gates of hell will not overpower it. That's one reason I was excited that we're starting to make initial plans with this group of churches to start figuring out how do we bring light into darkness in an evangelistic context. We're bringing light into darkness here, but there are most people, 99.9%, is never going to come into a church. How do we start bringing it out there? I don't know, but we're going to start moving. We'll figure it out as we go along and make plans as we go along. All right. So, how do we move from here forward? I got a pile of points. I don't know how many we'll go through. What we don't get through, maybe we'll go through it next week. Who knows? It sounds good in my mind, but often the Holy Spirit changes it during the week. We have a plan here, or a formula here, maybe because of my engineering training. Plan plus prophetic equals the promise. So start out with a plan, but be willing to be overruled by the prophetic. What's the prophetic? It's real simple. There's all definitions. This is the definition I use here. It's simply hearing the voice of God. So plan plus listening to the voice of God equals you're going to get there, the promise. Start with a plan and keep moving, but be sensitive to what He says to you and be willing to move with that. Many times they will start with four songs and they end up with just singing two and adding a third one in. Because right in the middle of it they go, okay, we picked out this third song, but I don't feel God's presence on this. So you start out with a plan. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock I'm going to go do this. And you start to do it and you go, what is this check in me, Holy Spirit? It just doesn't seem... Maybe now's not the time, or maybe my plan was good, but it's not the right thing. Listen to those still small voices. It's not even a voice, it's an intuition. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it in a minute. Pay attention to those things, because He likes to speak quietly. He does. You know why? It's sort of like in a marriage relationship. You know, like... We'll pick Shane over here. She's a friend, but not my wife. I would never walk up real close to her and just start whispering in her ear. That would just be really gross. That would really be weird. It's just not appropriate. We don't have that kind of relationship. But I would with my wife. That's how close the Holy Spirit wants to be with you. He wants to come up and whisper in your ear. If He's yelling at you, it's probably because you've been ignoring Him. If an angel shows up, immediately repent. Where did I not hear God's voice? Okay, I'm sorry that I missed the still small voices or ignored them. And because we often look back to the Old Testament where there was dramatic encounters with God all over the place. And you don't see that really much past Matthew in the Gospels. Why? Because they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, Mary had to have angels showing up because she's about to give birth and never had intimacy with a man. That enough would require angels to explain it. But besides that, she didn't have Holy Spirit inside of her to try to explain that. I have problems with just a little voice like, go over here and say this to somebody. Is that you, God? I'll sit there and go back and forth 48 million times, and He finally gives up and leaves, or I give in. What if He came to me, and I'm not a woman, but came to me and I was a woman, you're going to be pregnant. I would definitely rebuke that. I was like, dude, are you, I don't guess you can call God dude, but I'm like, that is just bizarre. I would never believe it. So you had to have angels for these momentous occasions. So if any of you women get pregnant and you've not been intimate with a man, maybe an angel will show up. I don't know. But will you apply it to your own life? Now you're awake. This is what I'm going to tell you. As we walk in with the Lord, I can guarantee you this. Point one. Now, it's not really a point, but it is a bullet point on my notes. It's going to look different than you think it is. Now, I always shake my head. I've heard this my entire life. But when it happens, I always go, this can't be God. Or when I'm in a moment of reflection like this, yeah, it's going to be different because God said there's going to be new wineskins. It's not going to look like the old wineskins. It's going to have new wine in it, et cetera, et cetera. But when it comes, I'm like, what? No. Nobody thinks this way. And so just be prepared. It's going to look different than you think. So what does that mean? When we start seeing God move and it's not the way we thought, if you're like me, and you may not be, my expectations have to die. Because usually it's not, he's moving different, and I can see it's good, but it's not. I'm not getting super excited like I'm going to Disney World seeing Mickey Mouse. Okay? It's different, and you sort of see God, but I'm like, I think my idea was better. Am I the only one? Or we'll just wait and see how this plays out. I don't think I've ever seen God change his mind. Start going 3 days into it and go, I messed up. Craig, we're going to change it, you know, on the fourth day. Have y'all, maybe it has. Has any of you ever had? Huh? There you go. Just stay out of his way. You know, God can do whatever he wants to. He can change his mind, but I wouldn't plan on it. So what you have to do, go, okay, this is not what I expected. This is not what I thought it was. But I am going to trust by faith, even though intellectually I know it. I'm going to trust by faith. He's actually smarter than me, and he's got a bigger plan. And in the end, I'm going to like it better. So you just have to deal with expectations. Even if you're a type A, entrepreneurial, goal-oriented person that likes changes all the time, you like those changes because you come up with those changes. When somebody else makes those changes for you, we don't like them, generally. This is just how people are. We don't like to change unless it's our idea. And then when other people don't get on board, we go, they just won't change. No, you're the same way. You just happen to come up with the idea. And so you have to go, okay, this is God's idea. This is better. Am I talking too blunt for you? This is how I live, man. It'll help you as you go through life. And hopefully, anyway, maybe not. You can get your money back if you gave cash. It's hard to get your money back electronically. Going that message was only half what I wanted today. It's like when a baby's coming. Y'all, what did you say? Asher was 7 or 8 months. I know they have fancy sonograms. I guess I've not looked at any sonograms since Abigail was 28 years ago, and I still have that picture, and I swear I can't tell what was what. Bunch of black, it's like a black and white static TV. Somewhere they go, oh, it's a girl, and I'm like, is there even a baby in there? But they say the new sonograms better daily. They say they even have 3D ones. Oh, that's pretty cool. So even if you have 3D sonograms and you get something, when that baby comes out, there's going to be quite a bit of stuff going on there in its look and its skin color and its eye color and that you couldn't even get on that 3D sonogram, but you're excited about it. And it's the same way with the Lord. He is right now in you birthing a baby. And it's growing, spiritual fruit. And it's going to look, you sort of get a general idea. I love, and I'm being sarcastic on this, being around pastors and hearing all these prophets on YouTube and pastors on YouTube. They're all talking about a revival coming. I mean, it's about all they've been talking about. That does not move me anymore. Why? Because there's been a revival coming since I was a Christian in the 70s. Everything's been a revival coming. Does that mean a revival's not coming? A revival's coming. But I've heard it for at least 40 years now. So I think it's obviously getting closer because it's been 40 years. This is my point. When that revival comes, it's going to look different than we think it does. People's going to get saved. How they get saved, I don't know. What happens after they get saved? We know they'll go through some kind of discipleship. But it's going to look different, take a different path than we do. And we have to be ready for the move of God no matter how it looks. And we have to learn to increase in discernment to see how God is moving through others. We teach a lot here about how God speaks to you. But you know, He speaks to me probably as much through other people. They'll be sharing something or watch something on the YouTube that I've made fun of, although I do watch a lot of YouTube. I'll hear something on there and I'll go, you know, I feel God on that. I feel God's peace on that. Because He's made us interdependent to listen to each other. But it will look different than what you think. You're praying for a relationship to be restored. You're praying for finances to be restored. Whatever it is. Praying whether to move here or there. It's going to happen. But in the end, it's going to look different than what you thought. And part of following the Holy Spirit is being flexible. Your spirit is flexible. Your soul Your body is sort of flexible. We're made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is flexible. Your body is sort of flexible. Your soul, which is your mind and emotions, they're stubborn. You ever notice that? No, not me. Oh, yes, you. Just wait. How many times have he's asked you sometime in the last couple of years, and you go, you never say it out loud, but he can hear your thoughts. What? That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Maybe you don't say it quite that way, but you go, this makes no sense. That's a more Christian phrase. This makes no sense. Am I the only one? And that's the flexibility that you're fighting. So as soon as you hear the Holy Spirit go, I have no idea how this is going to happen. I don't understand. And that's what I say. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't understand. But Holy Spirit, you help me to be flexible and follow you, and I'll do the best I can. And that's all he asks for. And he'll move you where you need to stay. I mentioned this earlier, but I do want to bring it up again. So another point, second point. I'm going through these really fast, and this might be the last one. You all right? I'm a sharer. If you hadn't heard me before, I just sort of share. I would flunk the seminary hermeneutics course, which is how to speak. Three intro, 3 points, close. I used to do that, and it just wasn't me. And halfway through, the Holy Spirit would say, skip the second point. Well, no, it's on the plan. And then the first 10 years, I would always do the second point. And when I got through moving on the third point, I was like, why did I do that? That was deader than a doorknob. That was just dead. It was boring. He goes, I tried to warn you. Y'all can apply this to yourself, can't you? So the second one is listen to nudges and impressions of the Holy Spirit. See, everybody hears, we hear on the big buzzword now with mental illness and different things is on a spectrum. Now, I'm not saying you've got mental illness, but you've got a spectrum. You've got real autistic one part, and over here on the left, you've got just traces of it. And everybody's on a spectrum in between. It's the same way with listening to the Holy Spirit. We're on a spectrum. One end, let's say this end, is impressions, intuitions, of the Holy Spirit. Yours may be different. I'm just going to use mine as an illustration just to maybe pick up some points. Probably 50% of the way I hear from the Lord is that way. Intuitions or impressions. It took me a long time to realize that was God. I just thought it was my mind. But I didn't realize half of these intuitions and impressions I would have never come up with on my own. It's like, you know, you just sort of dismiss it. Don't dismiss them. I mean, go through the analysis. Is this my own mind? Is my own thoughts? See if you see the peace of God on it. And then you go a little bit more in the center, and then you got all the auditory ways He speaks to you, which is typically the still small voice. And we already talked about that because He likes to be close to you, and He requires you to be close to you. He's never yelled loud at me. I've had some very odd, very intense, still small voices I thought was audible voice of God. They weren't. Some people on the auditory scale do hear the voice of God. It's usually rare, though, because He wants to work with you, the still small voice. He can do whatever He wants to. And then you go across the spectrum, and it's not like one side's bad or good, it's just different ways, is the visual. A lot of people get pictures, some people get, and those could be pictures, some people can even get visions. They can be an internal vision, you just see in your spirit. It can be an external vision that's out here. It can go as far as a trance. Paul said, I entered into a trance. I don't know if I was in my body or outside of my body. That means you don't realize anything that's going on around you. You could compare it to wearing a virtual reality headset, if you've ever seen those. Wherever you look, it's a whole different world. And so dreams are visual. The more visual it is, typically the more symbolic it is. And you need, He may give you the interpretation of those symbols, or you can maybe seek out other people for those symbols. When it's auditory, words, things like that, it's very rarely symbolic. It's usually much easier to understand. And so anyway, I say all that is to pay attention to the nudges and impressions. And so you might feel an impression, I just need to go over here and say this to this person, or I need to go and make this decision. Just pray about it and just sort of do a real quick prayer. And if you feel the peace of God, do it. And then often when you do it, you will get further clarification as you do it, or you will see the fruit of it as you start walking it out. Now, this is supposed to be Christianity 101, but it's really rarely taught. But this is just to pay attention, obviously, to dreams, visions, but also the nudges. Because at least for me, it's probably 50% of the time. You know, I'm just feeling this. And you know it's not, you know, I'm not talking about a physical feeling, but a feeling in your spirit. And you pay attention to those. Don't blow them off. Maybe they're not God, but follow those. Because he likes to lead you gently. And he likes to see how close. What is it? Psalms 25:2. It says, I'm paraphrasing. He says, I'm the Lord and I hide like gold things for you to search. But kings search it out. It's not just bam, bam, bam. It's not like a PowerPoint. He does not speak through PowerPoints. Maybe he does. Maybe you're in a business meeting and one point pops up and you can speak through it. But that's not how he works. He's almost cryptic sometimes. And it's not even so much cryptic, it's just little pieces, like crumbs, to see that if you'll follow those things. And that's one thing we do, the prophetic gatherings or the prophetic community at 5:30, is to show how we get little pieces and the Lord puts it together. Let me close with this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:10. You want to turn there or I'll read it. 1 Corinthians 2. It's not even turn anymore. Do you want to scroll there? Do you want to flip there? 1 Corinthians 2:10. Now this is a lot of theology here, but hang with me. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. So let me summarize this in my own words. The Holy Spirit searches your spirit to know your thoughts. And He searches God's Spirit to know His thoughts. So that He can reveal to you your thoughts and God's thoughts. That's Craig's translation. That shows the importance of listening to the still small voice. Shows the importance. You've got to slow down and give space and margin in your life for Him to speak to you. Sometimes when you're driving, don't put anything on the radio. Sometimes if you're home, before you turn the TV on or watch YouTube, take 5 minutes. Because what He'll do, and just say, Holy Spirit, search me and show me my thoughts. Now that is a scary thing for most people. They don't want to know. They've been running from them. They've been hiding from them. They're pushing them down. But He'll show you faults about yourself, whatever He reveals, good or bad. And then He'll tell you what the Father's thoughts are towards you. And when He does that, it's to free you and advance you and cancel your thoughts. Many of you ever had that happen to you? He'll reveal it to you and it's almost discouraging or regretful. But then all of a sudden He'll go, well, this is what the Father thinks about you. And when those things happen, it's like 10 counseling sessions in 5 seconds. It's just whoosh. You know that passage in the Gospels about the man that had a legion of demons? I think most theologians think that 5,000 demons. Some people think it's 1,000. But would you say that's a lot? That's one too many? And he was so tormented. He was tearing his clothes. They put shackles. He frightened a whole town. I don't get that part. I'm from the South. We would have got a bunch of guys. We'd have got a bunch of football players and all the basketball players. We would have taken care of that dude back there. And they might have. And that's why they were afraid of the man with 1,000 demons. He might have beat them. They might have done good just to get shackles on them. But Jesus, you know what His deliverance method was? One sentence. It's not about the form. It's not about how you do it. It's about authority. And so He starts walking up to this guy, and it was a short sentence, he was free and in his right mind, and he had clothes on. And the town was amazed because they had taken all the high school linebackers. They had taken all the forwards on the football team. They had taken the bodybuilders, and it didn't go well. And he gives one sentence, and he's sitting there smiling. He does the same thing with us, even if we don't have 1,000 demons. We're tormented sometimes by our own faults, by the thoughts of others. And when the Holy Spirit reveals the Father's thoughts to you, as 1 Corinthians 10 says, it puts us in a right mind. And we go, that was so simple. Why didn't I think of that before? How many of you have been there? It's like, why didn't I see that? Because it's not just a mental, logical puzzle, a philosophical solution you're trying to get to. It is a spiritual bondage that He frees you from. Let's stand. We'll pick up some more points next week, God willing. If not, then sometime. But this, to me, is just practical stuff of how to walk with Holy Spirit to be fruitful people. So, Holy Spirit, we just come to You and we give You permission to reveal our spirit, our faults, even if we may not like it, because most of the time we sort of know what they are. But we want to be laid bare to You so that we can hear Father's thoughts over us. We want to be free. And as we sang earlier, if you go deeper, it's not just in the spirit, but it's deeper in our soul too, and even our bodies. He wants our bodies healed. And so, Father, we give You permission to go deeper in us and help us to stay along beside You and not run. To stay near You and not run. So that we can hear what the Father's thoughts are over us, to free us into joy and away from our own paths. I just pray blessing on every person here, that they will hear You clearer than they ever have this week. In Jesus' name, amen.